Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is, What You Believe Can Help You or Hurt You.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many are you blessed so far? Just to be in God's house, we are very blessed. Just to be able to worship Him is such a privilege. And what a greater privilege that we can call Him Father. He's not just a divine being, but He established a relationship. The more I understand what it means to be saved is to know my place as a son. Amen? You know, the more we understand what it means born again, we are born again as sons and daughters of the Most High. And so every day of our life is for us to discover who we are. Yeah, and where we belong is always in that place of God's goodness and God's grace. You know, it's good to see Jeremy and Rena back. Hallelujah. Just in case you don't know, you know, Jeremy won it. Etiquettes to Guangzhou, eating chicken feet. Amen. You know, and I heard there was a chicken feet deficit in Guangzhou, where you were there, you know. But I think there's a little story behind it. It's not so much he winning it, but I think Rena and Jeremy were sharing with me the night before. They were talking about how they want to serve God, how they want to be impactful for God's kingdom. I think there's a time in our Christian life we no longer want to be Sunday Christian. You know what I mean? No, we want to be in business with the kingdom. That's what we should be, isn't it? You know, there comes a time. I think sometimes we just start bobbing around. But sometimes the time in our life we say, Father, I want the business with you. I want to do your business. I want to be serious about what you want for me. And that time, I can tell you, where that time comes, where we say prayers like this, things begin to change. So the night before, Rena was just sharing with Jeremy about how they want to be impactful for God. And even when they're going on holiday, they want to serve God. And next day, this guy got a free air ticket to China, you know, and how about that, you know? And I think what they say is very scriptural, you know. It's taken from 2 Thessalonians 1:11. And let me read to you two versions, okay? One is from NIV and one is from New Living Translation. Paul was saying, so we keep on praying for you. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. That God by His power may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And the New Living Translation says, so we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Amen? So when you say, I mean business with the kingdom, I mean business for the Father, that is called faith coming forth. And 2 Thessalonians 1:11 say, without any qualification, if everything that you speak for by faith, everything you catch hold by faith, God is going to give you the power to accomplish what you just said. Amen? You know, and this is not just for those who love chicken feet, but this is for every one of us who seriously means the business of the kingdom of our Father. Know that we mean something in our spirit, and it's not everything that we say will come to pass. But Paul is saying, everything you declare by faith, you took onto something, you are burning onto something, God will accomplish it. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, this morning we pray for Nigeria, not about nearly 300 girls was kidnapped, you know, and about 50 managed to escape. And we continue to pray. We are kidnapped by some, what I call an insurrection group within Nigeria itself. And even in the news about in Korea, about the ferry that sunk, and yesterday the train, you know, on Friday the train accident happens. And all these things, sometimes what do we do? I tell you, the best thing to do is to pray. So many people ask me, you know, will prayer change things? I tell you, I believe so. Years ago, I asked this man of God, and this man of God said, because you pray for India today, India will turn out different. Because you pray for China today, China will turn out different. Because you pray for Australia today, you pray for your city or Perth today, it will turn out different. You may not see that difference until you get to the kingdom, you get what I'm saying? But believe, when you pray, things will change. Sometimes God let us see it happening. God allow us to see it and witness it. Sometimes we don't see it, but it will happen. Because it is birthed out of faith. Amen. It's birthed up from the spirit of faith. We call forth what is not as though as it is. And Paul himself says in 2 Thessalonians that when we declare things out of faith, God will give you the power not God going to do it. God can do it, but God do it through you. That's why he say, when you see a mountain, you speak to that mountain. You don't ask God to remove the mountain. God said, you speak to that mountain, be ye removed. You know, I like to quote that from the King James, be ye removed. You know, and it will be removed. God gives you the power to declare things out of faith because God wants you to be a participant of his kingdom. Okay, this is not the sermon this morning, but I felt that I need to get us to that place of faith. We need to run out quick in the sense that God wants us to catch on to something. And this morning, I want to catch on a few things. Mr. Robert, show the first slide, please. Are you okay? No, I know you're a bit nervous. Too much coffee? No, all right. Okay, but this is a beautiful statement. I just came out this week thinking about this. Grace is a beautiful and powerful truth. It is beautiful because God did not demand or expect you to change your behavior for him to save you. It is powerful because God will change your behavior to prove that he has saved you. Hallelujah! Take a picture, please. Now, this is a very powerful statement because we often think that we talk about grace, we all know about grace, but I think grace is both beautiful and powerful. God did not demand or expect us to change for him to save us. But we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But when we were saved, he will, what does he do? He made us righteous. We are justified. We stand before him right. But he will also sanctify us. Sanctify us is to bring us to the awareness of who he has made us to be. We are new creation. Right? The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we are made a new creation. Sanctification is to allow us to live in the reality of being a new creation. Amen. Just like if you migrate from other country to Australia, right? And that you may not know a lot about the Australian culture or the social landscape, but you can learn in a sense. You can learn about things. You can go for classes. You can meet up with people who tells you about the nuances or the things about the Australian culture. That is living in Australian culture. You have left your old country. You have come here to live a whole new life. And so every day of your life, you are learning new things. Likewise, when you are moving away from the kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of light, amen, every day, God is teaching you the reality of this kingdom. That's why the Christian life is a supernatural life. It's not an optional thing. To live in the supernatural life is a flow of the grace of God. So every day, you and I, where God is sanctifying us, he's teaching us to live in the reality of being a new creation. Hallelujah. So sanctification is good. Justification is good. But sanctification is better. But what is best? Glorification. Means we all get to heaven. Right? But don't worry. Some of us will be there sooner or later, but we're going to get there. You know, so for us, when we understand the goodness of God, death is no longer a fearful thing. When we all die in Christ, we also live in Christ. Even when we say goodbye to our loved ones who die in faith, we know we're going to see them again. And next time we see them again, the Bible promised us in Revelation, it's going to be an eternal reunion. So people, get along with one another. You better be. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to be with each other for all eternity. All right, I love you, Dan. I better get along with Dan, you know. I can spend eternity with him, you know, that's how I think. And be thinking, oh, don't worry, I get to heaven, everything will be perfect. Why wait for heaven to everything be perfect? It's so boring. Work it now. Work out their relationship. Work out everything according to the power of grace. Amen? Don't think that people, that we continue in grace, we continue in broken relationship. But God's grace is a ministry of reconciliation. God unite us. God reconcile relationship, and God can heal the relationship. Amen. How many of you in your life you think there's some relationship that needs healing? Just me alone? Wow, the rest of you are very good. Now, the thing is this, you know, commit to the Lord. God, I want that relationship to be healed. I want that relationship to be restored. I don't know how it's going to be, but if you speak out of faith, God will give you the power to do so. Amen. I'd rather have all this relationship that's broken in my life be restored in Jesus' name. That I can witness that it is the power of God. It is his power of the ministry of reconciliation that brings that relationship back. What I cannot do in the flesh, God does it by his power. Amen? Now, what are we going to reflect this morning? Well, my title this morning's titles... I don't always introduce sermon title. That's a problem. Now I introduce you the sermon title. Now, Mr. Robert, shall we have it? What you believe can help you or hurt you. Say to your neighbor, what you believe can help you or hurt you. Turn to your other neighbor and say this the same thing. What you believe can help you or hurt you. Isn't it true? If you understand this point, you can go home now. Now, the thing is this. What you believe can help you or hurt you. Because many times, it begins with how we see ourselves first before we see other people. Often, because we don't focus on ourselves, we like to look at other people. That's why sometimes we have wrong thinking about other people. Wrong thinking about other people begins first with wrong thinking about myself. Can I say this to you? That's why some of us are very judgmental. Some of us are very gossipy. Some of us are rumor mongers. I know none of us in First Sight does that. But I say some of us means if you are the one, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not laughing, I know it's you. Now, the thing is this. You know, because if you have a correct idea of who you are, you begin to see things and people differently. You begin to see the possibility of God able to transform situation. Right? God doesn't expect you to change, but God will change you to prove that He has saved you. And because you are saved, you begin to see people whose life who yet to know Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, people, everyone on earth, 7 billion people, have a relationship with the Father. It's either they have a good relationship or a bad relationship. Even those who are not yet saved or pre-believer, they have a relationship. It's either a good or a bad relationship. That's why we preach the gospel to bring people into a good relationship with the Father. Right? So it's important that we continue to understand what the gospel is going to bring to us. Now, what you believe can help you or hurt you. I begin with talking about mindsets. Let's go to the next slide, please. Mindsets. Mindsets are attitude, values, things you hold on very closely that defines you. And if you look in life, there are two kinds of people. People with fixed mindset and people with growth mindset. Let me give you a quick rundown. Now, mindsets is not necessary. Some people say, oh, fixed mindset. Only old people have fixed mindset. Young people don't have fixed mindset. No, 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 no. Young, old, between the not too young and not too old, you also can suffer from a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset is of someone who believes they are who they are, and that's it. They cannot change. They believe that gift, that ability, that talent is maximum. That means they cannot change. That gift, the ability, the talents are all static. That's who they are. And people with fixed mindset is someone like this. I'm not good in maths. So what do? I avoid doing maths. Well, for a short term, when you avoid maths, it doesn't show itself. By long term, it tells something about yourself. You can't count. If you have a fixed mindset, your mind will be this thinking, right? I do not want to do anything that make me look stupid. That is a fixed mindset. I'm afraid to do it because people will laugh at me. Aren't you glad you're born entertainer? There's something about you people can laugh at. Come on, people. If people can laugh at your failure, think what they're going to do when you succeed. You laugh back at them. I cannot change. That's who I am. And people will think that way. If I'm not bound to succeed, I don't even want to try. Why run a race that you're not guaranteed to be at least first place? Not worth trying. Why do something where there is no guarantee of success? That's called fixed mindset. Fixed mindset as people, I know my strength and I know my weaknesses, but they stay there. Because the person who have a fixed mindset lives life by two things, result and performance. So everything they do is a result habit or a performance habit. If I can succeed, then I will try. If I never going to succeed or I'm not sure I'm going to succeed or if I fail, people will laugh at me, people will talk about me, I don't even want to try. That is called a fixed mindset. And when I look at some of your face, I know you know, stop smiling means I'm talking about some of you guys. Come on, people. But now, we talk about growth mindset. Growth mindset are people who believe their gifting, their talents, their ability are still raw. They are what we call the diamond in the rough. They believe gifting, ability can be developed. And they are not afraid to fail. In fact, they will tell you failure is the best teacher in life. If you do not know anyone who has failed in life many times, now look at me. I failed many times, but I can tell you I never give up. Try again. Yeah, sometimes I cry, you know, sometimes I struggle, you know, and someone asked me one time, "Man, Pastor, I always see you laughing and smiling all the time. Don't you ever have struggle?" "Oh yes, I have a lot of struggle. You know, sometimes I do struggle." "Then what do you do?" "I sing, no." "Say, what song do you sing?" "Shout to the Lord." Sometimes, yes, I get frustrated, I'm angry, I'm not getting anywhere, but sometimes I still have to go back somewhere to who God is. You know, the name Moses. Moses, his name means draw out. You want to learn about someone's life having been drawn out by God, is the life of Moses. God had to draw out something out of Moses. God has a purpose for Moses, but God has spent time to draw out what he put in Moses so that Moses can be the paramount leader for the children of Israel to leave Egypt into the promised land. God has given us a purpose long before the foundation of the world. Amen. We all know that. And you and I are born in such a time that God treats us like Moses to draw out from us what he puts inside us. But Moses, if you look at his life, he struggled many times. You know? And only one time, he realized one thing. He took his frustration to the people and not to God. And that's what disqualified him. You can read that in the Old Testament, Exodus, what happened. When he hit the rock twice, right? God said, "You just speak to the rock." That rock is a picture of Jesus Christ. Hitting the rock twice was to crucify Christ two times. First time he hit it, water came. Next thing is, he just need to speak it. In Moses' life, it's a shadow of the gospel. The first time we see Christ crucified, we get saved. What flows out from Christ are all the benefits of the Christian life. From this day on, whatever we go through, we don't need to crucify Jesus again. All we need to speak forth is the finished work. What has been done for us. And all the blessing will flow and bubble up again. God has to draw from us what he puts inside us. That's why when we are born again, can I tell you guys, it's not so much born again, but you have come back to who you originally were in the Father's eye. That means suddenly there's an awakening. That's why sometimes in the old days we call it a spiritual awakening. Because you are born again, you have returned back to who you are. It's a return home. It's a homecoming. You come back to who you are. And when you come back, when you're born again, God is drawing out that purpose he had put inside you long before the creation of the world. And he's drawing out from you what he needs to do in you. So people with growth mindset begin to understand in their life, they are a lifelong learner. They're not worried so much, am I going to be first? If I get to be first, praise the Lord. If I don't get to be first, I'm going to learn a lot of precious lessons about my life, about my purpose. Isn't that better? I'm always growing. People want to laugh at me. People who laugh at you when you try and try, can I tell you something? Those people have fixed mindset. Growth mindset is prepared to step up from the boat and prepared to walk on waters at least 4 or 5 steps. Then boom. But then when you look at the master, Peter said, "Jesus, save me." And Jesus did. It's all written in the gospel. I tell you, 30 years later, they still tell the joke. "Hey, Peter walked on water, you know. Who do you think he is?" And next thing he did was he fell into the lake. But Peter had the last laugh. "I walk, but you 11 guys stay on the boat. I dare to take that step. You guys have a fixed mindset. I have a growth mindset." The gospel do not promote a fixed mindset. People with fixed mindset, you talk to them, you know they are imminently they are like that. Because they have That tone is, you are always like that. Because they are always like that. They don't see they can change. They don't expect people to change. That's why the conversation is, you are always like that. That is why you call a false prophecy. Don't believe it for a moment. Because God came and said, you shall have life. And life to the full. The gospel, next slide please, promotes a growth mindset. Oh, no amen. I'm cheering for myself. Amen, amen. You know? The gospel promotes a growth mindset, isn't it? How do I know? Because when Jesus came, he said, repent and believe. There is growth. Repent is not just changing the mind. As I said to you, there's a wrong translation. When we use the word repentance, it came from the old Latin word, means do penance again and again and again. To say you are sorry for your sin, you need to do something. Do penance. But actually, that is a wrong idea. The Greek word is metanoe, means not just changing the mind, but change your mind together with revelation. In fact, it literally means changing your mind together. With who? With God. So when God gives you a revelation, it always brings you to repentance. Amen? Because that revelation is always about you. And when he gives you a revelation about you, he will gives you the power to align your mind to what has been spoken about you. People, that is called repentance. Repentance is not merely from sin. In fact, sin means to miss the target. It means when you live in sin, it means you're not living the way God wants you to live. You're not living up your identity. But when you live with a mind of repentance, means you're going to enjoy all your inheritance in Jesus Christ. Because God has to take away old thinking to give you a new thinking. Amen? Because only through a new thinking can you enjoy what God has for you. Now, once in a while, in all our computer program, we receive a notice, please update. Please update your current program. Please download the latest version. And every time I look at it, it tell you, why must I download? I ask my iPhone. I think, come back. For debugging, for something, to fix some problem. In the first place, who put the problem? You guys. What? Now I need to do it. And why? Because to download a new version is to keep yourself up to date so that you won't face problem running that program, isn't it? Now you ask Doug, now you say yes. You know, Doug is a computer guy here. You know, the man, you know. The thing is this, the more you understand God's revelation, the more you receive the gospel, you are debugging your life from old nature, from the old sinful life, from everything that's wrong about you, that because now you're getting yourself right about yourself. That's why never be tired of hearing the gospel again and again. Never be tired of thinking, I need to repent. Repent, as I say, is not feeling you, not bring you a point of you feeling sorry for yourself. You boo-hoo-hoo. You must be allowed a lot of guilt and condemnation. So you repent. No, no, no. Repentance is mainly saying that God gives me a revelation. In the past, I think God cannot do it. But now the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. That means, oh, I can change. God didn't demand you to change. But when God saves you in his grace, now he gives you the power to change. So your mind must have a growth mindset. I don't have to continue with sinful habit. I don't continue with a mindset that I cannot change. Yes, I can change. Because your mind that cannot change will always put you into failure because you have a result and performance mindset instead of an identity-based mindset. Performance can make you succeed for a short time, but not for a long term. Identity, people, transform you forever. People who are performance in their mindset, let me tell you, very simply, they let one event in their life determine everything. Because they never won the spelling bee competition, they never got over it. 20 years later, they have a whole string of failures. Because their mother didn't give them a lollipop, they struggle with life. buying every lollipop they can see. They need to compensate what they were denying. And we can go through life in that sense of wanting to be compensated because we were denied something by one event in life. Or we can say, my life has successes as well as failures. But this does not move me. I like what Paul says. This doesn't move me. I know I've been through plenty. I know I went through needs. I know to be contented. I also went through situations. I was hungry. I was in prison. I was shipwrecked 3 times. Paul is someone I want to travel with. He will stress me out going with him on mission trip. Either he go to prison, get stoned. Wow, what's this guy? You know, that's stressful, you know. But you know, end of the day, Paul says, these things doesn't move me. Because I know who I am. And when you know who you are, you know where you belong. It's like some Christians. They spend their whole lives looking for the perfect church. This is a secret. First Light is a perfect church. But don't tell people. They can go through life looking for a perfect church. It can be a building, it can be a people, but they will end up frustrated because the issue is not looking for perfect church. As in people, you need people, they tell you, the perfect church is every believer who knows they are in Christ. Jesus is the true church. That's why he told Paul, why are you persecuting me? Paul was persecuting the believer, but Jesus said, you are persecuting me. Christ and the church are one. The perfect church is not a community of people who play harp all the time. You see, everyone who play harp, the matter of time, they have a lot of things to harp against you. Now, the thing is this. The believer who knows they are in Christ belongs to him. They are his church. But when people do not know who they are, they spend life looking for the perfect church. They never find it. At the end of the day, they leave church altogether. Because if you do not know who you are, you do not know where you belong. But when you know who you are, because the gospel promotes a growth mindset. I'm growing as a son. I'm growing as a daughter. I'm taking my place. I mean my father's business. And I'm going to take hold of what God has for me. I don't want to be a Sunday Christian anymore. You know, my whole life, I can tell you, I had a lot of struggles, a lot of problems. Until one day, that is what happened to me. I said, Father, I had enough. Not of the problems. I know I can never stop finding. I cannot stop finding problems, or problems cannot stop finding me. But from this day on, all I want to do is your will. You know what happened when I said that prayer? I became the wisest man among my peers. Suddenly my head, ding, like there's a light bulb moment. I know what to do. I know where to go. I begin to see things I don't see before. I begin to find people. I begin to have solutions for complicated situation. And I know it was not me. It is God. And I thank God because he promised us that he will give us wisdom liberally without finding fault. That means God is not asking you to qualify for wisdom. In fact, God is so happy when you ask him for wisdom because a son, Proverbs says, seeks the father's wisdom. And so when you ask God for wisdom, you are actually living up your sonship. Amen? The gospel promotes a growth mindset. And how do I grow from there? Let's look at a few texts. First one. This I said, identity versus performance. You can live your life by a performance mindset, or you can live your life by identity mindset. Both will create habits. But I tell you, only one is scriptural. The one whose performance will never try unless they can succeed. The one who knows they are a son or a daughter will keep on living out their life. Not looking for results, but the enjoyment of living life to the fullest. Not to say we don't have the spirit of excellence, but the spirit of excellence comes from our identity. The spirit of excellence doesn't come from a performance. That's what I'm saying. Many of us let one event of life define us. We have a failure in life. Something tragic happens. Something traumatic happens. And from that day on, we decide, I cannot be happy again. This happened to every young man. They like that girl. and something didn't work out, they come to me, Pastor, boo-hoo-hoo, Pastor, I can never be happy again. She was the only one, Pastor. Yeah, sure, you know, they kind of, you know, pardon me for being cynical. Because you know what happened? Next Tuesday, Pastor, I found the apple of my life. So I like to joke with this person and say, Pastor, I found the apple of my life. And I say, is she a fruit? You know? She's the one for me. I know. Then next few months later, oh, Pastor, I can never be happy again. Please do not let one event define you. Don't even let events of life define you. Let your identity in Christ define you. Next slide, please, Mr. Robert. Identity, okay? Don't confuse identity with appearance. Because I'm not good looking, I should feel inferior. Who say that? Because I lack certain skills, some people are better than me in this stuff, means I'm not good. I try, but I never succeed. So I give up. No. Your identity is in Christ. You cannot let your appearance, your skills, and your results in life define you. Let me tell you something, people, and this is true. I find some people who are very good-looking, beautiful on the outside, but they are real ugly inside. You get what I'm saying? But some people are really plain on the outside, but there's such a beautiful spirit within them that you are attracted to them. Man, don't look at the outside. Look at the inside, the spirit of a person. You can tell people are going to succeed in life when they spend life looking for people with the right spirit. In my lifetime, let me tell you, I say, there's no such thing called ugly bride. It's true. Even the plainest person I met on earth can find a good man or good woman because they built a beautiful spirit with it. Don't compare your skill with someone better than you. Come on. God is not calling everyone us to be Einstein. We can, oh, Einstein is so clever. Actually, I was reading a book about Einstein. I discovered, actually, he's a genius because he had brain damage. It's true. When he died, they took his brain, they x-rayed his brain, and they discovered that there's some part of his brain that was underdeveloped. Einstein had problem recognizing people. And Einstein cannot solve simple maths problem. But he can solve complicated mathematical formulas and theories. And they realized that part that was underdeveloped, every part compensated. And he could remember 100 pages of formula in his mind, in his brain, but he cannot even remember his house telephone number. And someone asked him, why can't you remember your house number? And his famous statement is, if you can find it, you don't have to remember. That's why in this generation, those of you who are below 21 years old, your generation is going to be known as a generation of short-term memory. Because you can find everything in Google. You don't have to remember. My generation remembers tons of stuff. Auntie Dot, volumes of libraries. That's why she always bought that. So those of you under 21 years old, oh, I pray for you. Of course, you can say to me, Pastor, if you can find it, you don't have to remember it. That's why the greatest depression caused by you guys, or the greatest depression can happen to you guys is your internet not working. Isn't it? For me, my internet not working, I'm very happy. Because there's no more email that come to me, and I can now sit back and relax and read a book. Isn't it true? Years from now, people suffer from depression. Oh, why? I can't download quick enough. So don't confuse your identity with your appearance or your skills or even results. Don't. Look at Jesus. Right? Are we learning? Okay. There's a few more things and we'll close. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This verse had tripped many Christians for a long time. That chapter is called the cost of discipleship, or called the true cost of discipleship. To follow Jesus means you must take out your cross. See, literally, this guy take out his cross and follow him. But we forget that Jesus was actually being idiomatic. He's actually saying an idiom. He's not saying in a literal way that you need to take a real cross. Or this had to do with salvation. Rather, he says, if you want to come to live the life that I have for you, you must deny yourself. Means you must say no. Okay, people, the word deny here. Say no to your own effort. Say no to your own performance. Say no to your own self-effort of succeeding. Don't factor in your flesh, but take up the revelation of the finished work for yourself daily. See, the finished work can be a theological discussion. You get what I'm saying? We can talk it theologically for hours upon hours. It means nothing until I take hold of the finished work as a personal experience. You get what I'm saying? I take up that revelation for myself daily. And daily means daily. So what Jesus is saying, that if you want to follow me, please don't look at your flesh. The efforts of the flesh can be two kinds. You can live in sin, right? This is called licentiousness. Or you can live by your own law. That's called legalism. You still trust your flesh. That's why when people sometimes we come across books, if you want God to answer your prayer, some books will tell you, fast for 40 days. I tell you, most Christians will do that. If it guarantees them a result. But they come across a book, if you want God to answer your prayer, rest for 40 days. Very few people will take it up. They want to do something. They want to get God to do for them, but they need to do something first. You know, have people ever invite you for dinner to their place? They come to their house for dinner. First thing, inevitably, we will say, do I need to bring something? Do I have to bring something? Of course, the kind host say, no need, no need. That's why we have an advertisement, bring Cadbury chocolate, can't go wrong, you know? For people who don't need anything but bring something still. Because that is our mindset, that nothing is such thing called a free lunch. So even if God says it's free, come, come. You still have the mindset, I must still bring something. That is called the work of the flesh. See, to bring something is called a sacrifice. But God, in grace, doesn't want you to sacrifice. He wants you to surrender. Sacrifice is easy, easy. If I give $50, I sacrifice $50, I feel better with God now. I fasted 40 days for 50 days, I feel better with God. But God says, this is why He said in Isaiah, I don't want your fasting. I don't need your fasting. I don't need your sacrifices and offering. What is a true fast? It's to care for the widows and orphans. Love people. See, people can define for them sacrifice. Because they can do as far as their flesh allowed them. They call it sacrifice. But God doesn't want you to go as far as your flesh can allow you. God wants you to go to a place that your flesh will fear you. And when does your flesh fear you? Surrender. God wants you to surrender. That's why the word surrender, if you go back to the Greek, talks about emptying yourself. God needs you to empty all of yourself so that He can fill you with His grace and His truth, with His mercy and His power. Amen? So people, don't live life thinking you need to sacrifice for Jesus. He doesn't need your sacrifices. He called you to surrender. So every morning you wake up, you take a pole, you tie a white hanky. I surrender. I surrender, God. No, try waking up every morning and say, Lord, I surrender one more time. Surrender one more time. Take up the cross daily. Take out your experience of knowing the finished work for yourself. Own it and follow Him. Amen. Next. This guy, Arthur Plessett, he literally took out the cross. 1968, God told him, build a cross and go around the world. And he won a Guinness World Record, going through every nation and listed in the Guinness World Records for the world's longest walk, over 40,000 miles in 323 countries, islands, group, and territory for 45 years. At the end of the day, when he asked him, how do you feel? Tired. But So he carried the cross in 1968. He came to Australia in 1976. You get to a website, you read about his testimony, very powerful. When he came to Australia, the custom want to confiscate his cross. He said, it's an organic item. It's an organic item. It's wood. So we need to confiscate it. And his famous line was, when in doubt, preach. So he told the guy, yes, you can have the cross, but every day you need to look at the cross, and the cross is going to change you, and you need to give your life to Jesus, and you shall be saved. Well, the guy looked at him, take the cross with you, man. Take the cross with you. But his cross is interesting. He attached a little wheel behind the cross. So he didn't drag the cross. He has a cross on wheel. And when people look at him, they laugh at him. They laugh at him. That is not a real cross you're carrying. Your cross has a wheel. And he say, yes. Because the true cross was carried for me by Jesus Christ. And today, when I carry the cross, it's easy and light because someone did the heavy lifting for me. People, your life can change because someone did a heavy lifting for you. Amen. Give God glory. So that when you carry the cross daily, it's not beating yourself, but every day you declare the benefit of the finished work for yourself. Amen. And your life will change. You don't have those sinful habits in your life. Don't keep looking at the sinful habit. Keep looking at the cross. Keep knowing your righteousness. You don't like certain things in your life. Then you say, Father, you give me a spirit of repentance that my life, my mind must change or be renewed according to the revelation you say about me. Because when you are born again, you are so new that God has to reintroduce to yourself one more time. You're no longer your old you. But every day, if you don't make up your mind will make up for you. Next. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. This is what it means to take up the cross daily. It's to declare what Paul declares. I have been crucified. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life, everyone say the life, which I now live. See, so Paul is talking about present. The life I now live in the flesh means in the physical, I also live in the spiritual. That's why he says, now I live in the flesh, I live, if you look, some translation says, I live by faith in the Son of God. But if you look at Greek, he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? The faith that you have, people, is not your own faith. If God depends on your own faith for him to answer your prayer, what can we say? Ayo. It's not going to work. In fact, for you to believe, Paul says in Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith. God saves you by his grace. And God gives you the faith to believe. The faith to believe was a gift. That's why God said he gave us the gift of faith. So the faith is not your faith. So people, sometimes we say to each other, we must have faith, we must have faith. We need to qualify, what faith are we talking about? Your faith, my faith? That sometimes that's why we get a fixed mindset. Oh, I can't do this because that Christian have more faith than I have. That's why sometimes people come to me, oh, you're a pastor, what? Pastor's supposed to have faith. Are you sure? To tell you the truth, sometimes my faith is not there. If you're talking about my faith, you get what I'm saying? The word more faith or less faith is not a size of the faith, but the duration of the faith. That's why Jesus told his disciple, O ye of little faith. He's not thinking about the size, but the stamina. The longevity, the ability to run. So some people can run 100 meters, they get tired. Some people can run for 40 kilometers, still very fresh. So Jesus was saying to his disciples, you have little faith means you did not let that faith I've given you run its full course. Let the faith run its full course. Don't let circumstances determine your situation. Don't let your circumstances determine your destination. But keep on running in faith. Because your identity is born out of faith. That's why Paul keeps talking about us looking at Abraham as the father of faith. Anyone who's in Christ are heirs of Jesus Christ. They are sons of Abraham. But here is Paul saying, now I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. What he has done for me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. So these people, if you don't have a life verse, make this your life verse. If you think you're going to forget it, tattoo here. Or tattoo it the other way, mirror image. So when you look at the mirror, you can read it. I have been crucified with Christ. Believe you me, if you tattoo this verse here, you always get empty seat in the train. Because no one will sit next to you. They see you coming, oh, make way, make way. I have been crucified. Every day you declare, I have been crucified. It's not me struggling this problem anymore. It's Christ who is in me, helping me. I have done an over with myself. That I need to solve this problem. What I have is Jesus Christ, His faith in me, that He is going to help me. This is the reality. How do we work it out then? Next one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say to your neighbor, I can do all things through Christ. Many times, many people call this out of context. They say, I can do all things without Christ. Where is Christ? I can do all things. Here is not... Here, people, don't get it wrong. This verse is not ask us that we can commit crime. I can do all things in Christ who strengthen me. No, 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 no. Those are religious nutcases. No. I can do all things in Christ who strengthen me. You know, and they never, you know, they're religious nut because they never blink. You know. No, the thing is this. In Greek, I can do means I have strength. Or I am strengthened through Christ. Who strengthens. And dynamo. Dunamis is power, right? And dynamo is keep on empowering me. I am strengthened because Christ is always strengthening me. I have power because Christ is always empowering me. How does He empowers you? He gives you grace. His grace is to tell you, I am with you. You are a new creation. Everything that God speaks about you is always true. Even when God rebukes us, He rebukes us out of grace. And this is the spirit you and I must have, that God is able to strengthen us. That's why the Christian life, people, is a restful life, because it is a contented life. The word here, definition of contentment is, work very hard, make sure you have a big saving, then you can retire, then you can be content. No. That is the word definition of contentment. But contentment is every day of your life, I surrender one more time. I surrender. And now because I surrender, it is not me at work. This life that I live now, I live by the faith. And this faith is Christ empowering me every day to journey. That's why my identity is in Christ. I'm going to succeed. People, write this down. I'm going to succeed in spite of myself. The flesh is, I'm going to succeed or fail because of me. Or I succeed because it's me. No. You are going to succeed in spite of yourself. So the Christian life is not, I avoid what I'm going to avoid those things that are going to make me look bad or people laugh at me or I have fear of failure. People, don't go through life looking for failure. This is not the sermon of today. That is called crazy. But lives will have its episodes of failures. You get what I'm saying? But don't let that define you. Just say, Lord, I still thank God I still have my identity. You know, sometimes people write to me and tell me off. And sometimes some things they say is so hurting. And often recover by saying, thank God my identity is still in Jesus Christ. Thank God my life is in Christ's hand. That's why Paul says, the one thing I have now is to know Christ. Right? He says what? I forget what is behind. I press forward. Don't let a single failing experience define your life. This is not you. Don't even let a series of failure define you. Don't even let a series of successes define you. What must define you is your identity. And every day you declare, this is the reality of the finished work. I can do all things in Christ who strengthened me. I step into something of the natural into the supernatural. God has given me gifts. God has given me talents. God has given me ability. But I trust God, He's going to develop those gifts, those talents, That's why John says to us, 1 John says, you have the anointing. Amen? But he did not finish there. He said, you have the anointing that abides. Abides means it stays on you forever. Say to your neighbor, you have the anointing that abides. This anointing that you have, please don't say it wrong, you have the anointing. No, no, no. You have the anointing. You have the anointing. If no one says to you, go to the mirror and say, you have the anointing, that abides. So don't say, I cannot. I'm too old. I'm too ugly. I'm too left-footed. I cannot. No, no, no. Don't say things like this. This is called a fixed mindset. Arthur Blessed started walking in 1968 when he born in 1940. You just calculate, he walked how long? For 45 years. Till his late 60s, he stopped. Smith Wigglesworth started to minister in his late 50s and he continued till his late mid-80s. People who never stop God working in their life will always know how to rest in the power of God's grace. You and I has given such a great salvation. So great a salvation that you and I must hold on every day to take up the cross daily. Take up the finished work, the reality of the finished work daily. To deny yourself. Stop putting yourself into the equation. It's Christ plus nothing equal 100% salvation. Not you. So what can I take home with today? This is what you can take home with. Don't let circumstances change your call. You are called to be a son. You are called to be a daughter. Don't let circumstances change your call. Many people, because they meet failures, they change the destination God has for them. Many people don't have good relationship with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They change church. Many people do not know what they want. They forever have this restless spirit. But the thing is, people, all this restlessness, all these offenses that you can have in life, all these struggles of failure ceases the moment you know who you are. As I said before, when you know who you are, you know where you belong. And when you know where you belong, you become rooted. And when you are rooted, you become fruitful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.